Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, our text today, has God rejected his people? By no means. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Dear friends of Christ, I want you just to imagine for a moment that you're back in Jesus' day, well, after Jesus, in the early church, and you are in a small group of Jewish Christians who just started a church in Rome right after the Pentecost. And as your little congregation grows, things start to change. You have a few Jews, but now you have a lot of Gentiles. And the Gentile Christians are different because they don't have all your traditions. They don't know how you're supposed to do God right. And of course, how did you deal with that? Realizing that there are more of those Gentiles, and maybe God is rejecting you, and maybe God is rejecting the Jewish Christians. Now, I know this theme doesn't really resonate with us today. Who cares about the Jews and the Gentiles and that whole struggle? But that's why Paul wrote the words in our text. He answers the question, does God reject the Jewish people? And Paul answers it with a strong answer, by no means. God never rejects anyone, right? And again, that's what resonates with us this morning. God's grace never rejects anyone. Whether you're Jew, Gentile, whether you're the worst sinner or the seeming to be the richest saint, God's grace is for all people. Paul writes, he wants all people to be saved, God does, and to learn the truth. God loves everybody. The people that hate him, he loves them. The people whose lives are steeped in sinful rebellion, he loves them. And he's waiting for them to repent, to turn, to believe in him, and to live. As Christians, those stubborn unbelievers, or those in the church who are stubbornly falling away from Christ, wandering away from his church, wandering into sin, wandering away from his grace. They're our crosshairs. They're in the crosshairs of our mission. They are our mission project. Those are the people that we need to be talking to. And they're the people that God is seeking. You know, we have a deep love for them. We pray for people like that. But what do we do with those people that are enemies of God? Enemies of the church. And they hate what we're doing. What about those believers who once believed, but now they've wandered away? And they don't want anything to do with God any longer. What about them? Does God reject them? No. No, they reject him. But God, if they come, will never. If they return, God will never reject them. They'll be saved. And they need to know our theme for this morning. God's mercy is for everyone. You know, most of people in the world today are disconnected from Christ. They're unbelievers. And some of these disconnected people are members of your family. Some of these disconnected people are people we know very well. They're our friends or our co-workers, and we deal with them all the time. Again, God loves them, and we pray for them. We pray that somehow the Holy Spirit might touch their heart, give them faith, and sometimes we even might wonder, how long is it going to take for Christ to break through that stubborn heart? When are they going to believe? When are they going to come? When are they going to repent and draw near to Jesus? Well, know this, as you pray that prayer, Jesus never gives up on those people. He never gives up. Where there's breath, there's still hope for eternal life. And we see evidence of this when Jesus walked on the earth because that was his mission. Sinful people, broken people. He loved the people that nailed him to the cross. He loved the people that beat him, that whipped him, that crucified him. And he prayed for them. He loved the people of Jerusalem. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, and you stone those who I sent to you. But how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You can hear God's longing. He greatly desires to give mercy to everybody, but they are not willing to receive the mercy. When you pass somebody on the street, you're passing people there that are not willing to receive God's mercy. The mercy's there, they just simply don't want it. Or they don't see the need. And those people that you pass by in the street, they look lost. They are lost. But don't judge them. Love them. Remember, God's grace is relentless. Now, I want to say that again. God's grace is relentless. It pursues sinners. It doesn't let them go. It calls them. And they may not act like they're paying attention, but the Holy Spirit is pinching their heart, inviting them, welcoming them. In so many different ways, God does that. God always goes to great extremes to reach people, especially those who are lost. He reached out to Gentiles in his day, in the early church. Paul writes, "As much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of the ministry of the hope that somehow by reaching the Gentiles, I can wake up my own people." Paul had a remarkable history. He was a Jewish man. He hated the Christian church. He was a Jesus hater. He was a Christian hater. He killed them. He killed the Christians. Persecuted the church. But then God spoke to him. God's grace saved him, leading God to say, "This man is my chosen instrument to carry out my name before all the Gentiles." God's grace, God's mercy converted Paul, changed Paul, turned him around so that he makes a bold confession. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's a power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first the Jew and then also the Gentile." Every time Paul went into a new town with the message of the gospel, he first would go to the Jewish synagogues. He'd give the Jews the first opportunity. But in almost every synagogue, he was rejected. And then rejected, he'd go to the heathen, those who didn't know anything about the true God. How do those Jewish Christians react when a large number of Gentiles began to emerge in the church? You'd think those Jewish Christians would be pleased? They didn't. They resented it. They resented those foreigners, those strangers, those heathen with disgust and prejudice. They're too sinful, unclean. But God is telling us something. We all are unclean. We all need God's mercy. We're all sinful. And we need the blood of Christ to wash away our sin. We're all in need of that perfect robe of righteousness that Christ puts over us to shelter us from our sin and death. In the early church, they spent a whole lot of time and energy, they did, talking to unbelievers. I don't think the church today, the modern church, spends a whole lot of time talking to unbelievers. I don't think that's something that the lay people do. They endured all those words of opposition, the lay people did, but they talked about Jesus at the coffee table with their friends, words of opposition, but they loved, and their patience paid off. The people eventually saw their love and believed. Can God's amazing grace still do things like that today? Touch people's hearts. Lead them to God's mercy. Of course it can. But it's done by us. And there are people who are working hard to do it. How many of you have seen the man, I believe his name is Calvin, he sits on 4th and Grand reading the Bible during the summer, and he's out there just yelling the Bible, and you know what people are thinking as they pass by. Well, what an idiot. Nobody can hear a single word he's saying. And even if they could hear him, who cares? But you know what I've seen? I've seen people stop and talk to him, people that look broken, people that look like they could use a Savior. And they're asking him, why are you doing what you're doing? And I've talked to him. I've heard him speak to these people. He has a remarkable patience with them and a remarkable love. And he says, why am I reading the Bible in the corner? Because you need to know about Jesus. I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked because I have a Savior who loves me. I have a Savior who loves people. I have a Savior who loves you. I know another man who shares his faith at work. Anytime the opportunity comes up that as soon as a topic happens, he brings Christ into that conversation. And then they have a discussion about Jesus, whether they want to have a discussion about Jesus or not. It's time to talk about Jesus. You know, people don't know much about Jesus anymore. They're really ignorant. And the people are curious. We're getting to that point where they're curious. Who is Jesus? And they're intrigued as you talk to them, as you keep loving on them, not judging them. You keep mentoring Christ's love. You know what they'll do? Eventually, they're going to want what you have. They're going to want the love you have. They're going to see something in you that they don't possess. The Holy Spirit. And that's when the door opens. That's when you can lead them into the Bible. That's when you can lead them to church. And that's when you can invite them and show them that God's mercy is for everybody. Did you pay attention to our gospel lesson today? About God's mercy. Jesus is walking through the heathen region of Sidon and Tyre, very dark, spiritually dark area. Demons lived there. He came across a Canaanite woman, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy. I don't deserve this, but I need your mercy. I have a daughter. She has a demon. Jesus didn't answer her. Just ignored her. She was a Gentile. Undaunted, she kept pleading, Lord, have mercy on me. The disciples said, make her go away. She's bugging us. And then finally, Jesus said, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I was sent to the Jewish people, not to the Gentiles. You know what Jesus was saying? I didn't come for people like you. Still, this woman persisted. She continued pleading, Lord, help me. And equally undaunted, Jesus continued to test her faith. Test the faith of this woman, saying, it's not right to take a children's bread and then give it to the dogs. Those are harsh words, but the woman refused to give up. She spoke the words of, then she spoke these words of great faith. Yes, Lord, you don't give the children's bread to the dogs. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. A crumb is enough. A crumb is all I need. What a statement of faith. A crumb will do. Jesus, just give me a crumb of your mercy. Just give me a crumb of your love. It'll be sufficient. It'll be powerful enough to wash all my sins away. Give me all I need for eternal life. And we want the world to possess that crumb. that morsel, that powerful piece of God's love. God's mercy is for everyone. Listen, people are rejecting Jesus. Unbelief is so entrenched into our society that the unbelief is even beginning to affect our people. Christians are falling away because of the darkness, kind of like in the area of Tyre and Sidon. It's pervasive. It has the power, the sin does, the unbelief does, to turn out the light of faith. Yet God wants to give them a crumb from the Master's table, if only they'll come. Listen, the Jewish people rejected Jesus. They nailed him to the cross. They spat on him. They beat him. And God used all of that because he had a plan. He used their rejection to allow himself to be crucified so that he could be their Savior. So he could rise for us and wash away the sins of the world. He is Lord. He is Master. And what did the Canaanite woman say? Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. Yes, Jesus, a crumb will do. And know this, God's mercy is for everyone. And we stand in awe of God's amazing grace, and he finds out a way to touch every human heart, no matter how stubborn. They may not come to faith, but I promise you, God's Holy Spirit is working on their heart. You know, the people of the Old Testament, they rejected Jesus right and left. The people of God rejected, had their hearts against the Lord, but their disobedience did not deter the Lord. God in his mercy chose these people. God in his mercy kept coming back to these people and continued to reach out to save them, to call them back. So much so that God spoke these words. People who never before inquired about me are now seeking me out. Nations who never before searched for me are finding me. But my own people, though I've been spreading out my arms to welcome them all day long, they've rebelled. They follow their own evil path and thoughts. And when we consider the evil of the Old Testament people and the disobedience of those Old Testament people, it gives us an insight into our own souls, for we are disobedient too. We need God's mercy. We need the crumb that falls from the Master's table. We need his steadfast, unfailing love. And yes, a crumb will do. Paul says this in our text, God never changes his mind when he gives gifts or when someone calls him or when he calls someone. In the past, you disobeyed God, but now, God has been merciful to you. Let me illustrate. There's a little girl, and her mama had told her, don't eat the chocolate that's on the kitchen counter. Well, you know what the little girl did. Mom leaves the kitchen. She pulls up a chair. She gets up on the counter, and she helps herself to the chocolate. How's mom? What's mom going to know the difference? Well, later that day, mom sees her daughter and sees the evidence, the chocolate all over her daughter's face. And so mom tells the little girl, did you eat the chocolate I told you not to eat? And the little girl in the most precious, sweet voice said, no, mommy. No, mommy, I didn't. And the mom was wise and went and got a hand mirror and shined it in her face. That's what God's word does to us. It shows us our sin. It shows us our need so that we can see our need for God and his forgiveness and the blood of Christ to be saved. And yes, God's mercy is for everyone. And a crumb will do. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.